All right, well, where were we? Oh, yeah, shit. I forgot to mention the kind of hilarious Tenacious D video for the song To Be the Best from 2012, which features Val Kilmer in it. And fun fact, the band Tenacious D took its name from the sports announcer Marv Albert, who used to describe basketball teams as having a tenacious defense. So anyway, the To Be the Best video has Jack Black kind of becoming a big-time movie star. He's hanging out with celebrities like Val Kilmer, and Kyle Gass, the other member of Tenacious D, is locked up in prison, which kind of has like funny kind of Cape Fear type scene. Anyway, Kyle escapes from jail, Val Kilmer ends up getting shot and killed, and Tenacious D reunites. They realize they're out of practice, so they have to train to play rock again, and Josh Groban is in there like teaching them to sing, and Dave Grohl is teaching them how to play guitar. The song is short as shit. It's pretty catchy. It's only like 1 minute long, but the video is 6 minutes. It's funny and totally worth watching, but the part that always cracks me up is when Val Kilmer and Jack Black are at Jack's mansion just drinking and shooting the shit, and Jack is talking about working with Martin Scorsese. And Jack is self-satisfyingly saying how he refused to do like more takes with Martin Scorsese. So Jack is saying, "Scorsese asked if I could have one more take. And I shit you not, I said, I will not give you another take, Scorsese, unless you tell me the story of when you and Danini had your powwow. Scorsese. All day long with Scorsese." It's funny stuff. That's kind of where Jack Black can be genius, when he takes like some name and then tweaks it into something funny. De Niro, Danini, Scorsese, Scorsese. Anyway, here's the ending of the song, To Be the Best. "You are the best, but you say you don't know. You got the touch, now come on, let it show. You got the shots, but you know that you got to believe in the things that you dream in. You search for the meaning is very revealing. The power of healing is what you are feeling. You gotta believe that you're simply the best." Okay, well, let's go. Insert opening song here. And note to myself, edit out me saying insert opening song here.
"You are my density. You are my density."
Okay, so you remember when I said I violated a cardinal rule of living in Los Angeles by not living on the top floor? Well, guess what? I have a fairly noisy neighbor above me. It's my absolute nightmare. If someone isn't making noise, then I'm silently anxious, just awaiting the next noise to come. And that noise may be in 5 minutes or 2 hours. But that anticipation of the next noise persists. Again, I don't understand what people are doing. A fucking walkathon or something? It's a small apartment, you get up, you go get your dinner, and you sit your ass down. Go watch The White Lotus or something. And I have a personal boycott on The White Lotus. Everything about it seems so artificial, such a product. Although, yes, I know one of my favorites of all time, Sam Rockwell, is in the recent season of The White Lotus. Maybe I'll have to search out his scenes at some point, but not quite yet. Okay, quick addendum. I did actually watch Sam Rockwell's confessional monologue in The White Lotus. He's always good, but the writing is forced, obvious, and not as clever as it thinks. And God, I love when I think I'm not going to like something, and then I see it, and I'm actually like, yep, I don't like it. Okay, what did I watch? Do you remember? If you do, let me know, so we can both reach our destination safely. Well, let's speak of the goofy but likable film series Final Destination, which has another installment out this year called Final Destination Bloodlines. All of the movies are more or less about a person who gets premonitions of death and mayhem to come in the near future, and the person tries to change what's going to happen, and in doing this, inevitably causes some more horrible shit to happen. Final Destination has several sequels. I was always partial to Final Destination 3 from 2006 because it starred the dreamy Mary Elizabeth Winstead. But in honor of the new Final Destination film coming up, I decided to consciously sit down and watch the shittiest one. And that would definitely be 2009's The Final Destination, which does suck. But it is worth watching in a cheesy way. It achieves the trifecta of terrible acting, a bad story, and crappy effects. But again, I find comfort in even shitty old horror movie sequels. It can't be all Hitchcock or something. And if you like captivating little documentaries or have any interest in the lives of aspiring actors in Hollywood, please check out 2004's Camp Hollywood. It's about a bunch of wannabe Hollywood actors living in a budget hotel in Hollywood called the Highland Gardens Hotel. It's on Franklin. God, I've passed by that place so many times. The hotel used to be called the Landmark Motor Hotel. And one fateful day in Los Angeles on October 4th, 1970, the singer Janis Joplin died of an accidental drug overdose in room 105. And the hotel remains the same. The room is still there, just the names have changed. And Janis Joplin's family opted for a private funeral, and her ashes were scattered over the Pacific Ocean and also at Stinson Beach in Marin County. But you know where Janis Joplin was cremated? I shit you not, Pierce Brothers Memorial in Westwood. Which, yes, is also where Val Kilmer recently had a private service. Val Kilmer was also cremated, and his ashes were given to his family. So anyway, Camp Hollywood is a documentary by a Canadian comedian who stays at this Highland Gardens Hotel for 60 days, and he gets to know the colorful inhabitants. Some has-beens, some that have been successful, and a lot of never-wases. It's very affecting, very genuine, but pretty damn heartbreaking at the end. Acting is definitely a tough goddamn gig, but I celebrate anyone who tries to pursue their dreams, even if they never attain them. Follow your dream, even if it becomes a nightmare. At least you went for it, dude. So anyway, I watched Camp Hollywood, and while I was watching it, there was a little montage set to a pretty catchy song. I first just kind of let the movie continue, and then I was like, wait a minute, that song was kind of cool. So I rewatched it a few times and looked up the lyrics. It wasn't the easiest thing to find. Kind of an unknown little track by the musician John Levine, called Nobody from 2009. And Camp Hollywood was from 2004, so I'm thinking they maybe remastered Camp Hollywood at a later date and added the song in then. But regardless, it's got a great little chorus. The lyrics, the mood are just kind of spot on for me. And here's a little bit of that song. Late at night when I can't sleep no more, the corner store, leaf through the pages of magazines of the lives they lead. Will I ever leave this town? Okay, let's see. What else did I watch? Oh, yeah, I got around to watching 2025's Wolfman, directed by Leigh Whannell, who helmed the pretty great The Invisible Man from 2020. Well, let's see here. Wolfman, it isn't great. The dysfunctional couple in this movie is played by Julia Garner, who I have to admit freaks me out as an actress. There's something like spectral or vaguely ominous about her, but hey, maybe I'm nuts. And the husband who gets bitten by a mysterious creature is played by the kind of impressive, interesting as shit actor Christopher Abbott, who also starred along with Aubrey Plaza in the weird but compelling drama with some intertwining stories in it called Black Bear. That's from 2020. I didn't actually think I was going to like Black Bear, but once I started watching it, I had to see the whole movie. And some of the squabbling in the movie Black Bear has kind of like a John Cassavetes style intensity to it. And interestingly, after Black Bear, Christopher Abbott and Aubrey Plaza teamed up again off-Broadway in 2023 for a revival of John Patrick Shanley's Danny and the Deep Blue Sea, which was written around 1983. And any time I ever took an acting class, someone would do, or the teacher would recommend, a scene from Danny and the Deep Blue Sea. It's like an acting class staple. That and also Edward Albee's Zoo Story, a one-act written in 1959. I don't know what it is, but Zoo Story always comes up in acting class. But yeah, Wolfman, it's not very fun. It's a little portentous and pretentious. It's underplayed, underwhelming, and just kind of boring. It takes itself way too seriously. And even though the film does kind of have a quite satisfying ending with shades of an American Werewolf in London, the film has none of the energy or the goofiness of John Landis's Yes, He's a Sleaze 1981 An American Werewolf in London. So if you're bored and Wolfman is streaming for free, okay, well, watch it. But I would search out something that's more worthy. Like, did you watch Session 9 yet or Safe Men? God damn it. Okay, a couple quick made-up movie quotes. Oh, yes, you got me. I got a little high recently. Okay, scene 1, you guessed it. Jack Nicholson is frumpily lying in a small, dirty studio apartment, smoking and drinking whiskey from a bottle. He glances over to his left and he sees his haggard reflection in the mirror. And he says, "My God, when did you become such a fucking cliche?" Okay, and I like this one. Picture Al Pacino, maybe like Sea of Love era or a little bit later. He's a cop in an interrogation room with a nervous suspect that Al is questioning. It's a big, dramatic, heavy-looking Joe Esterhaz-type scene. And Al Pacino leans over to the suspect and says, "Look, everybody farts at least once a day. But the important question is, when and where did they do it? So I ask you again, when and where did you fart?" And maybe that scene works, maybe it doesn't. But the word fart is just one of those that's such an Al Pacino word that you can really draw out. You may say, "When did you fart?" But Al Pacino would be like, "When did you fart?" Okay, I'm still getting used to my work schedule and have been a little bit anxious during the week, so I've been having to write these latest episodes in a bit of a rush. My apologies, but I figure if an episode is short, who gives a shit? I mean, there's no rules here, and no matter how great a song or movie is, I've rarely, if ever, said, "Man, I wish that was longer." Do I wish some friendships or relationships were longer? Or do I wish my dad and my grandparents were around for longer? Of course, yes. But movies and songs, especially if they're really good, then it's already the perfect length. And hey, the perfect length, that kind of sounds like a book title, so let's make one up. The Perfect Length, My Life in the Penis Extension Business, written by Dr. Richard Long. Get it? Dick Long, Dr. Dick Long, which I think was the name of an old school porn actor. I personally never have seen a porn film, but I've read the manuals. So anyway, let's wind down this episode. And I always get nervous at the start of a new job. It's always like, "God damn it, man, you'll never be able to keep everything straight." And things can seem so overwhelming at times. You're usually walking into an established team that is so comfortable with each other, and you're the new weird tall guy, the interloper. It's tough at times and feels awkward, and I'm always painfully so self-conscious. Though to the outside eye, I may not seem very self-conscious. But trust me, it's taking so much of my reserves to make it seem that way. I remember some people at my last job were like, "Man, you seem so calm all the time, even when dealing with stressful situations." And I'm like, "Dude, you have no fucking idea how rattled and anxious I am. But everything will be okay. And if it isn't okay, fuck it. I'll figure it out and deal with it." So for now, I sit here listening to the sounds of my portable air conditioner. Yes, they haven't fixed the central air yet. More on that some other time. But I'm here, alone with my thoughts, quietly waiting until I hear the disturbing sounds of my upstairs neighbor again. You could say I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop, which is such a spot-on term. It basically comes from apartment life, or tenement life, more precisely. In the late 19th and 20th century, the bedrooms started being built one on top of the other, and it was common to hear your upstairs neighbor take off his shoe, drop it, and then you would anxiously await for the next shoe to drop. So when you know something inevitable is going to happen, then you're waiting for the other shoe to drop. Unless your upstairs neighbor only has one leg. Then you're in the clear after one shoe. Okay, insert end song here. And note to myself, edit out me saying, "Okay, insert end song here."